Now, patriarchy takes human beings who are biologically male and creates a class of people called men. Men are made by socialization to masculinity, and that's a psychology built around entitlement, especially to another class of people called women. At its core, masculinity is a violation imperative. Now, this is not natural. It was not created by God. It's a corrupt and brutal arrangement of power. According to Amnesty International, the most traumatic form of torture is rape. Now, you could read about that in Amnesty's materials. You could also just listen to women. Now, there is some segment of this movement that believes that the proper response to the most traumatic form of torture is to sit in a circle and talk to the perpetrator. That might be appropriate if someone had stolen a cupcake. But I got news for you. Women are not cupcakes. So men, you have two choices. You can lay down your weapons and pick up your humanity and stand with women. The truth is that as long as domination is eroticized, as long as anyone is socialized to that violation imperative, you're not safe either. 1 in 7 boys is sexually abused. That's a whole lot of rape.
And stay.
So some of you already know that I'm telling the truth, and I'm sorry that you had to learn that. It is horrible each and every time. The world should stop turning, and I don't know why it doesn't. But you have a choice now, and the question is, are you going to say, do it to her instead? Or are you going to say, no, it stops here. You don't do it to anyone, not ever. And to women, we don't have a choice. If you were born female, you were born on a battlefield. You will be punished for saying that out loud. But the grim truth is, you're going to be punished anyway for the sin of being female. Battering is the most commonly committed crime in the United States, not violent crime in the United States. It's every 18 seconds a man beats a woman. That is more hatred than I can comprehend. So right now that battlefield is such a slaughter, we can't even gather up our wounded. So this is where all three of those systems, civilization, capitalism, and patriarchy, this is where they merge, that violation imperative. That includes breaking the bodies of women and children, the boundaries of rivers and forests and mountains, the DNA of salmon and mice and indigenous people, and finally, the integrity of the atom itself. Put all this together, the entire culture is sociopathic. The entitlement, the sadism, that bottomless hunger to conquer, you'll never reach the end of it. What we are reaching is complete biotic collapse, starting with the least of us. Plankton populations are crashing because of the carbon. The oceans are now too acidic for plankton. Now, maybe plankton are too small and green for most of us to care about, but you should know this. 2 out of 3 animal breaths is made possible by the oxygen that plankton produce. So if the oceans go down, we're going down with them. So what do? We fight like hell. And all of you are doing something so important by starting. You're breaking through the passivity of the weary, the denial of the desperate, the accommodation of the brokenhearted. You're standing up to say no, enough. That 1%, they're not taking the last scraps of shelter, of health care, of human rights and human dignity, of this planet that is our only home. You're standing in witness to a vast machine that is right now grinding up the future itself. And you took the next step here in Oakland. You shut down the port for a few hours. You did that. You halted the flow of the living to the dead to commodities to wealth. You did it. But we're going to have to do it again. Only this time, it can't be symbolic. We're going to have to mean it. Because we need warriors who will put themselves between what is left of our planet and fossil fuel. We're going to have to bring this down, all of it. The oil, the coal, the clear cuts, the dams, all of it. The entire industrial economy. That will require sustained, committed blockades. Not blockades that make a point, but blockades that make a decisive material impact.
Oh, oh!
Decisive material impact.
Oh, 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 oh!
We stop the trains carrying coal and the tankers carrying the oil and the pipeline. lines carrying the tar sands. We especially stop those. James Hansen says it's game over for the planet if those pipelines go through. Now, this is going to mean civil disobedience on a scale the world has never seen. And we're going to have to match their contempt with our courage. We're going to have to match their brute power with our fierce and fragile dreams. We're going to have to match their endless sadism with a determination that will not bend and will not break and will not stop. They arrest us, 2 more come forward. They hurt us, 5 more come forward. They kill one of us, and there are thousands ready to take the place of the fallen.
Yeah!
This is the last moment to fight. Did you know there are parts of China where there are no longer any flowering plants? No flowering plants. Because the pollinators are all dead. We are on the verge of complete biotic collapse. That is 500 million years of evolution gone. We're out of soil, we're out of species, and we are out of time. And catastrophic climate change has begun. We need to start thinking like a serious resistance movement, because this is a war. It may feel like daily life, because it's been going on for 10,000 years. The lights are on, the stores are full, I know. But it's a war. And if anyone is left to look back 100 years from now, they're going to wonder, what the fuck was wrong with us? That we didn't fight like hell when our planet was going down. Now you love something or you wouldn't be here. Whatever you love, it is under assault. Love is a verb. We've got to let that love call us to action. Thank you.
That was a clip from Occupy Oakland. The speaker was Lier Keith, who I hope to get on sometime in the near future. So let's look at Occupy closer to home. Occupy Stock Exchange, Occupy Finsbury Square, Bank of Ideas and Bloomsbury Centre are so far the main focal points of activity in London. On the show, we have, or let me just say, actually, we're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, and this is The Circle Day. On the show, we have a couple of guests. First up in the studio, we have Jack, who has been helping out at the Bank of Ideas. Hey.
Hello.
Tell us about what is the Bank of Ideas.
Basically, the Bank of Ideas is a occupied and now turned into a public space. It used to be a bank owned by UBS. Was empty for several years, and basically some people from the St. Paul's camp and the Occupy London camps came together to form a social space for people to gather, to get together in an age of neoliberalism where space is increasingly being privatised, and ordinary people who are not of the elites do not have any places to gather and to create events for themselves. Basically, at the Bank of Ideas, currently we have, if you go on the website, I mean, it's called, the tagline is a public repossession, and it's exactly that. In an age where houses are getting repossessed, bankers getting bonuses, in an age of austerity, finally there's been a group of grassroots people, just ordinary people like you and me, taking back space and creating something with it, which is something we haven't seen in quite a while. I mean, for the past couple of years, we haven't had any decent, well, any kind of large kind of social centres that have able to gather hundreds of people, and there's been hundreds of people turning up to Bank of Ideas. I mean, it's really great. It's across a political spectrum. It's not just kind of hardcore socialist or anarchist or anything like that. It's people there who don't describe themselves politically but are fed up with the current political system and want to do something practical to create a change in the world.
So it's made up of lots of different groups and individuals.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't emphasise how broad the actual spectrum, the political spectrum is within the Occupy camps. I mean, a lot of it is quite libertarian. There's a massive emphasis on consensus decision making and bottom up decision making process, which obviously adheres to kind of people who sympathise or have kind of like more anarchist / libertarian socialist beliefs.
Okay, and on the line we have Kai.
Hello.
Hi. Kai is on the line, and she's involved with Occupy Stock Exchange. So let me kick off. Can you tell us the background of the global Occupy movement and how they began?
I mean, the main inspiration, basically, I think, is
all the uprisings in the Arab world. We've seen the protests in southern Europe, in Spain, in Greece, and that was just really inspiring. And then, of course, Occupy Wall Street started a few months ago, and I think that inspired everyone, like all over the world. People are rising up. And that was a huge inspiration to start Occupy London as well.
And how was the camp at St. Paul's established?
It all started with a Facebook page that me and another person founded the beginning of October. And we've seen all the uprisings around the world. We were just asking ourselves, you know, why isn't something like that happening in London? Mm. We need it in the UK as well. There's so much going wrong. There's this discontent building up in people's minds for so long, and they finally say enough is enough. So we just started organizing it, and people were just, you know, they just needed something like that. They were longing for something like that. When we started it, people were just, you know, coming to us and saying, I want to help, I want to do something.
What has it been like at the camp?
It's been good. It's been inspiring. And it's been very, I think, for people, it's been very empowering. And I think that's one of the most important things that the camp is. It empowers people and inspires people to stand up and speak up and do something.
Yeah. The camp has many people from different backgrounds. You have anarchists and anti-capitalists to liberal and reformists. What is it that is finally bringing people together, do you think?
I think we all got, like, common grievances, but we all got this hope for a better world. And I think what we want to do, what we're doing at Occupy London, is creating this public space for open discussion for people to come together and work on those things together. And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes to sit through a general assembly that lasts for hours and hours and we just talk and talk and talk, it's painful. But in the end, if you find consensus, it's the most empowering feeling ever.
Yeah. And lastly, where do you see it going?
We've got a lot of court cases right now, and I can't possibly say how they end, but I think the most important thing is that Occupy is about thinking differently. It's about imagining change and making that happen. And this idea of the Occupy movement, that you take it with you and take it to your neighborhood, take it to your community and get active and do something.
Yep. Okay, well, is there anything you'd like to add? I know on Thursday, that's the 15th. It's a kind of a national Occupy.
Yeah, it's Occupy Everywhere, D15. I'm really looking forward to that. It's basically just what I said. It's about getting involved. It's about starting something in your community. It's about, you know, just making change happen.
At your workplace?
At your workplace, you know, occupy your workplace, occupy your neighborhood, occupy your library, occupy the tube.
Yeah, can you imagine when this really does, like, kind of just spread? Can you, you know, the powers that be are going to be really terrified if they're not already. But thank you very much for all your hard work, and thank you for coming on the show as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Next, we have another caller, but we need to call him up very quickly. So just stick with us, and we'll be on in 30 seconds. I believe in myself. George is another protester taking part in Occupy Stock Exchange. Hello, George.
Hiya.
Hello. He describes himself as a compassionate revolutionary. Yeah, that's very good. Let me ask. Tell us about why you're there and what is hoped to be achieved from this. Is it a symbolic act or is it more than that? Or is it both?
I think it's lots of things. I think it's definitely a symbolic act, but I think it's also a democratic revival and in real physical space, face-to-face. Because I think amazing things have happened with social media and things like that, and there are all sorts of important connections we can make virtually across the world. But I think what this movement reminds us is that there's no substitute for actual physical presence, and I think the kind of staging of it, if you like, in front of the Stock Exchange and St. Paul's Cathedral in itself is, you know, it's a symbol and a statement of the need to take back our democracy and our public space from the 1%, effectively.
What's the support been like?
I think millions of people are behind it, you know. So many people I meet in from so many walks of life, you know, say, you know, that are so inspired by it and that it's really important. I think the problem that we have at the moment, though, is that too many people think of it as something that it's good that other people are doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, which brings us on to kind of Occupy Everywhere tomorrow, I mean, Thursday.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how many people come out for that. You know, the idea is people will go to street corners, libraries and things like that. But I think it's interesting, this movement in this country, because it doesn't sit that easily with, like, Englishness. You know, people don't tend to want to just kind of go out and stand up in public and kind of tell people to come along. So it'd be really interesting to see how many people get on board. I think, you know, it takes time. I think we can grow the movement. And in answer to your first question, the point of this is to grow. Like, only a very, very large mobilisation can take on the financial power that we have in the world and do it non-violently, which I think is the key.
Yeah. For those that have never been there, what's the setup? Can you give us an idea of the many things organised there? Like, there's a library for one.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, when you arrive, if you're coming from the front, you have an info tent at the front, and then behind that is a bigger tent, which is half a library and half the Tent City University, where we have really interesting lectures and movies and all sorts. In fact, now when it gets really cold and rainy, we have general assemblies there as well now. That's the kind of big main tent at the front. Then behind that, this is sort of going along up to the side corner of the cathedral, you've got about 50 tents probably. There's an open bookshop as well as a library that people can come and get free books from. And then sort of once you get alongside the cathedral, there's a big tea tent and a food tent as well. And then along the side, you've got all sorts of different groups representing themselves. There's like an energy, equity and environment tent where people sit and you can kind of get literature and have conversations. And there's a welfare tent, all sorts of things.
Yeah. And if people want to have workshops there, is it pretty easy to carry that out?
Yeah, no, anyone who has an idea that they want to bring and get people engaged with, you know, send an email to or call. You can get details on the website. And, you know, you can set up a workshop, set up a talk, because there are really good things going on. And if you go on the website, actually, there are quite a lot of lectures and stuff that have happened. Really interesting things about stuff that we really should know more about, but we don't tend to, like how the economy actually works and, like, where money comes from and, like, all these actually really important things to what happens in the world, but they tend to get kept away from us. So check out the videos on the Occupy LXX website, I'd say.
Yeah, and obviously, like we've said before, public spaces are very hard to come by, like if free public spaces. There's quite a lot of speakers that have been there and spoken about all sorts of issues, you know, sort of educating us. What's the experience been like in that sense? Do people, is it quite vibrant? Do people really appreciate ideas coming forward? You know, are we like involving a lot of our ideas? Is it, it feels like it's quite a good hub of people involved.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've had some amazing people down, you know, from politicians to artists to professors to poets to musicians. And yeah, no, it has been really, really vibrant. I think now it's getting colder, but it's not quite as like the first few weeks when it was a glorious, like warm, sunny bit of November. It was like hundreds of people all the time, and now it varies depending on what's going on. But especially at the weekends, it tends to get busier again. And hopefully on Thursday, it's going to be full of.
Well, can you tell us about that? Can you tell us about the 15th? What can people do? What can listeners do themselves? Any tips?
So anyone who'd like to come down to St Paul's, that would be amazing. There's a 10 o'clock action all to be revealed on the day. And then there's a 12 o'clock sort of education. So both meet both at St Paul's. So if people fancy the action, which should be something kind of, I think they're definitely going for kind of fluffy and creative. So if they want to come to the action, that's 10 o'clock. And if you just want to come to the education, that's midday. Okay. So St Paul's. If you don't want to come to St Paul's, then anything you can do anyway. That's the message, really. You know, if it's just even getting people round to your flat, you know, on Thursday evening. If that's where you're at, then that's brilliant. You know, if you can do something in public, like on a street corner, outside a library, in a library that they've closed, or, you know, any of these things where we inspire ourselves and each other that we can make a difference in all the things that we already care about and already believe in.
Yeah, here, occupy everywhere. All right, thank you very much for coming on, George. And okay. I'm sure I'll bump into you somehow one day. Cool, take care. Bye, thank you. Bye. Anything you'd like to add since you're in the studio?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just like to talk more about kind of the space, really, about Bank of Ideas. I mean, that's personally what I've been involved with, even though it has been kind of insignificant compared to other people, in the sense that I hope that kind of local community groups and youth centres that are facing cuts and possible closures actually come to the space, irregardless of political opinion, just come and use it. I mean, it's there basically for anyone to use. You will not be like kind of questioned or fill out do a test on kind of your political allegiance to anything. It's not about that. It's just about kind of ordinary people using the space for whatever they need to.
Yep. Cheers. Okay, that is all we literally have time for. Thank you to all my guests. Thank you. Shows coming up, yet to be broadcast, are Marxism Beats Anarchism, What is Anarchism at the Bank of Ideas, as well as two Christmas specials. And next year I have on poet Benjamin Zephaniah and Viv Albertine from legendary punk act The Slits. I can't wait. Till next time, go on www.thecircleday.com and the Facebook page to keep up to date on things. See you then. See you next week. And till then, turn on, tune in, and kick off.
If you can't hear me, you're not listening to Resonance.
Eating.